Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Kayak Fishing Weekly, the show on the Serious Angler podcast network dedicated to all things kayak fishing. Got a fun show planned for you today. Before we jump into the show and talk to our guest this week, I want to go over some news because when I recorded the show last week, the Possum Kingdom tournament had not happened yet. So I want to jump into that first. It's the Bassmaster Kayak Series second regular season event of the year. It was on Possum Kingdom. That's become a legendary lake, particularly for the kayaking scene. Some massive limits have been caught there in the past, some gigantic fish. It's a cool destination. It was a tournament that I was hoping to make myself this year. Could not make it happen, unfortunately, with the schedule. But it happened April 13th and 14th. Again, Possum Kingdom down in Texas, 172 anglers. Our top three. Starting in third place, Clint Pippen, 95 and a quarter inches. Then Brandon Prince, a name that he's been around the top of the leaderboard. I've seen him a bunch on the Hobie Series, perennial, you know, top 10 in the angler of the year. He put up 96 and three quarter inches for second place. And the winner, Mr. Jason Isaacs, 101 and a quarter inches. Now, they did have a weather shortened event. It was supposed to be a two-day event. Really high winds, dangerous conditions on day one led that tournament to being, or excuse me, that day to being canceled. So it turned into a one-day shootout. We'll talk with our guest a little bit more about that. But congrats to those guys. Great finish. And then also to Mr. Matt Ramey, who put up the big bass, a 24 and a quarter inch giant. So that is what I got for news. For upcoming events, we have a few major tournaments, you know, tournaments on, you know, what I'll call the big three. Hobie has the first one. It's going to be April 4th and 5th on Wright Patman Lake down in Texas. I don't know a whole lot about that lake. And some of the guys that I've talked to, even the guys that are down in Texas, you know, have not fished it. It's a place that I don't think a whole lot is known about. I've heard mixed things from guys. You know, some guys weren't super excited about it. It doesn't have that name recognition, but I think it has the potential to, you know, it's Texas. I don't think there's a bad lake in Texas. And I think just the fact that it's not sort of a household name like a Possum Kingdom or Fork or one of these other, you know, Rayburn, one of these other like just sort of legendary destination places. I wonder if it doesn't, you know, turn into that if we don't have sort of a major showcasing. There's a possibility that is an awesome event with a lot of big fish. So I'm curious to see how that goes. Then the weekend of May 18th and 19th, we've got two series, two major events going on. Bass is hosting their third season, regular season event of the year on Lake Gunnersville. I am hoping to make that one. That should be fun. I love Gunnersville, grass fishing, big fish. That should be a fun event. That same weekend, KBF is having their, I think it's the third event of the season, regular event, down on Santee Cooper, another awesome lake, again, May 18th and 19th. So you've got two to pick from, you know, legendary Lake Gunnersville, legendary Santee Cooper lakes. And then I also thought that since we're getting on into the season, I'd give an update on Angler of the Year races for those trails. So the Hobie Series, leading Angler of the Year race currently, Mr. Russ Snyders. In second, Garrett Wade. And in the third spot, Garen Butler. I was not able to find the Bassmaster standings. I don't think they've been updated since the PK tournament. So when I get those, I'll share them. But then the KBF Angler of the Year standings for their trail series, first place, currently Mr. Tim Isaacs. In the number two spot right now, Mr. Jody Queen. And then in the third spot, Mr. Casey Reed. So that is the Angler of the Year standings. And that is all I got again as far as news and what's going on in the kayak fishing world. Be sure to stick around after I get off with our guest for tonight. We've got our new segment, Yakking on a Budget, where I'll give a money-saving tip. And then we've got, as always, our King of the Week, King and Queens of the Week to wrap up the show. But Next on the docket, a guest that I'm excited to have on. He had a fantastic tournament here on Possum Kingdom. I've run into Jason a few times on the water. Fantastic fisherman. We've particularly the last year and a half, we seem to find the same kind of places. So without further ado, Mr. Jason Isaacs, fresh off his win at PK. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
And dude, I was you've had a little bit of time to let that win sink in. That has got to feel great, having one of those blue trophies.
It's still weird to me, man. Dude, it's like I've been so close so many times, and now that it's finally happened, it doesn't feel too real. It's so weird.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was curious, because it took a little while for me too. It's different. It's one of those things. I mean, I'm not going to compare us to the Elite Series, but it's kind of got that same feel to it. You know, the Elite Series, you know, I've followed it for years, and you see those guys hoist that blue trophy, and especially now the trophies that they redid, you know, those new catch trophies that I think they started that trophy in 2023. Those are cool.
They're heavy.
I haven't gotten a hold of one yet, and I'm not gonna, you know, if I win one, I'll pick it up, but I'm not touching one unless I can win it. But I don't remember the exact year. I know that the series was around for at least 1 year before I started fishing them. So I don't know if it was 2019 or 2020 when they first did a Bassmaster Kayak Series.
But I'm not sure.
Do you remember?
I'm not sure.
But either way, even if it's, you know, 2019, they've done five events every year. So there's not very many guys that have a blue trophy like that.
So this is the first year I fished Bassmaster.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So this is your second Bassmaster tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like with my work and stuff like that, and there's so many daggone trails now, it's like I have to pick and choose, you know.
Yeah.
I start the year off strong. Was it KBF a couple years ago? I was like, I came in fourth down in Florida, and so I thought maybe I should stick with that. And then same with Hobie last year, like, you know, I was third at Caddo, you know, just stuff like that. Like I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to get, you know, like my boss gives me all the time off that I want, but I can't take that much time off.
Yeah. Oh, it's almost impossible. I mean, I was fortunate to be in a position where I had some money saved for the last few seasons. And that was the only way I was able to do as many tournaments as I did. And I've always had a lot of respect for the guys that weren't in that situation and had limited practice and still showed up and kicked my butt. It's different since I've started, you know, working again this season. It's difficult. It is not easy to, you know, you can't fish everything. Like there's too many to do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even if you only did five of it, I mean, there's only so many weekends in a year and you can only get so much time off work. So I get where you're coming from there.
I would love to fish all of them all the time. That would be great.
Dude, I'm right there with you.
It's just not real.
Yeah. It's fun, but I think for 99.99% of us, it's not realistic that that's going to be a livelihood. there's maybe two folks out there that can actually, either through social media or through, you know, actual tournament winnings, like make this a full-time gig, and more power to them. Yeah. I'm not that good. I know it. I try. But I guess before jumping into the tournament, I kind of want to talk a little bit about your background, kind of how you got into kayak fishing. What brought you to it? Were you, fishing as a kid like me, or?
I've always fished, yeah, since I could keep the rod tip out of the dirt, you know. But how I got in the, of course, you know, my dad was doing it before I was, and even then, I never really thought about doing it. And there's a guy up here in Columbus that wanted me to fish a Thursday night boat tournament with him. Every Thursday, it's a 4-hour tournament. It's just a 10 horsepower limit lake, you know. So, I mean, we literally didn't even have a live well. We would take a cooler and like rig up this aerator, and like it was a mess. But the bad thing about it was, is he was so stuck in his ways and just didn't want to like change anything, and couldn't figure out why we kept getting our butts kicked or not getting limits or whatever. So I called my dad. I said, "Hey man, you got a kayak I can borrow?" And he said, "What for?" And I said, "I gotta go find fish for this tournament." So I mean, I was fed up, man. Because once you start this Thursday night thing, it's pretty much, there's like a point system, and you got to be in the top 20 at the end of the year to fish the championship.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of cool. Anyway, I got the kayak, got everything I needed, and I'm sitting at this ramp. It's called Hoover Reservoir, and about 10 or 12 guys show up with kayaks. I was like, man, what is going on? It was like, so weird. It was a Wednesday. It was in the evening, you know, pushing the evening. And they have a Central Ohio has a Wednesday evening tournament that rotates through three different reservoirs here in like right around Columbus.
Okay.
And they're like, "Oh, do you just want to fish this tournament with us?" Blah, blah, blah. I was like, and I was kind of intimidated because I'd never even been on the kayak yet to even try to fish off of it. I didn't have a clue, you know? And I was like, "No, I'm just gonna try to find fish for this tournament tomorrow, maybe next week, you know." And I should have fished it. I'd have won by like 10 inches. Yeah, I would have crushed them. But anyway, with that being said, like the next 4 weeks and that boat tournament, like we won two, come in second, and one big bass.
That is so if I understand it right, you're fishing with a buddy out of a boat, but you don't get the results you want. So you get a kayak, and like most guys were doing the opposite for a while. They were jumping into a boat to cover more water to get ready for a kayak tournament before that whole rule got put in place where you can't. But you got into a kayak to go find some fish to help your buddy.
Yeah. And dude. I also fished a couple of those Wednesday evening ones with the kayaks. And I won a couple of those too. And then from there, like my first real tournament was I went straight for the kill and went to Lake Seminole for the OBPOS. Dude,
so what year was that?
19.
Dad, so okay.
Yeah, so he jumped right in. And when I was down there, it was really, really nasty cold and windy, and I only caught four fish on day one and two fish on day two, and I was still like 40th place. So I'm like, man, well, I wonder what would happen if I caught some limits. You know what I mean?
Like if you actually, like, if you do what you would consider good. Like
yeah. 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 Right. So, cool. And then me and Tarek Walker, we rode down together and fished it, because my dad was fishing it and stuff like that. And that's just where, you know, and then I fished the local stuff, and I won Cincinnati kayak fishing angler of the year, and I only fished it the 1 year and won it and didn't fish it anymore. And then there's like BKFT, Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail. They had like a trail series and an online series, and I won the online series like 2 years in a row. And then I should have won the trail series too, but the year that I started fishing, they changed it to where the championship counted towards your AOI. All I had to do was catch one 12-inch fish. That's it. That's all I had to do. And I missed five fish in the championship.
Dude.
Oh, well, I didn't care. You know what I mean? It was just like, I got, for some reason, man, like there was like a lot of haters, because I just jumped right in and started whooping butt. I don't know why. It was weird, but yeah, because Bobby Weicker would be like, "Man, I'm tired of hearing people talk trash about you around the campfire at these events." That's what he told me. he didn't get it either, because he's a good friend of mine, you know. And I was like, "Shh, I don't know, dude. It's not anything I did other than just went out and caught a bunch of fish."
Yeah. So you before you got into the kayak and before you were doing those night derbies with your partner, were you fishing like just bank fishing, or did you have another?
If it said no trespassing, no fishing, I knew there was big fish and I was going in and fishing it. Dude. Like that. Yeah. There's a lot of like housing developments and condos and townhouses up here that they just put ponds in and they stock them and like nobody fishes them. And we'll go smash fish, just throwing a wacky worm. That's all we were doing, just smashing them.
That's a good
one. I won't even throw a wacky worm anymore.
I don't know how many times I've been beaten by that technique where I try some, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's too easy. I'm going to try something complicated, and you know, it just overcomplicate it. And then some guy who takes one rod with him and has a paddle only kayak does better than me in the tournament.
Yeah. But,
that is interesting. I did not realize that. I was thinking you'd been in the kayak for a little longer than that, but that's impressive.
No, yeah.
That's about the same time. 2019 was the first time I did an online tournament. I did an online tournament in 2019, yeah. And then I just did one, and I did good in it. I won it, and I was like, "All right, I've scratched that tournament itch, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to have a perfect record." I didn't fish for a couple of years. Like I didn't want to, I was too chicken to sign up for one of the in-person ones because I was working a job where I couldn't get that much time. And, or I guess I had limited time. I didn't want to take a bunch of time, to try to pre-fish. So I was like, I'd be showing up, you know, like a day of practice. And I just didn't think I'd do real well. So it was kind of until I, you know, left that job, it was just sort of a, maybe one day sort of thing. But yeah. 2021 was kind of when I started doing it. So kind of, we've been doing it about the same amount of time. And then ironically, I think the first time, I recognize you from pre-tournament meetings and stuff, but that first time I remember really, you know, talking with you was the Hobie BOS Open last year, 2023, when we were both on the same fish. And it,
well, pretty much. I couldn't keep
that's the one I remember anyway. Yeah, I remember that part of it too. And
I mean, I caught that big one, but that 24 and a quarter. Yeah, but 24. I couldn't keep. I hooked other fish back in that canal that would literally pull my kayak and then just pull off.
That's crazy.
Like 4 or 5 times, I'm like, man, this is not cool.
I didn't even get bit back in there where you are. I was in a whole different side of it was the stretch that I've fished, and it
no the right side, the right side's where I caught the big one. Like when you go into the backwater and you go to the right into that canal, as soon as it starts to open up and you can go right and go back to that little pond or whatever, mm-hmm. right there in that open spot on the left hand side, there was some duckweed, and that's where I brought it past that duckweed and caught that big one. But the ones that I kept getting pulled in my boat was back across the lake in that middle, the okay. middle one.
That's the one yeah. where I was. I was the yeah. one.
That soon as, you know the one. you know the little dude sitting on the dock,
mm-hmm.
right past it. All of that was like hydrilla with beds in it.
Yeah,
and there was just fish were loaded up there. I just couldn't keep them hooked. It was crazy.
I didn't even realize there were beds in that stuff.
There was.
I was going up and down it, and I was actually like at the mouth of that one. I caught some fish the previous year, and there was a stretch that. I don't know if it was just the grass wasn't as good or if it was Bassmaster was there the year before. It was a little later in the year, I think. And I think yeah. it was just post spawners and there was shad up there against that seawall and that other stretch.
Dude, I remember looking at the standings and seeing that you won it the year before. And then when you told me your name, I was like, yes, I made a good decision.
Dude, you did. When you told me, and honestly, it influenced my decision that like, because Jordan, I think, came in there later in the day, too.
He never got a bite, though.
Did he?
He never got a bite. I seen him at the ramp. He was ready to sell all of his fishing poles and everything.
I saw him at the ramp, too. And Ewing came over and was chatting. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, congratulating you in, because I thought I had, for me, it was an awesome day. I put up almost 100 inches.
Yeah.
And then I look at the standings and Ewing's got like 109 or something. Something
stupid. Yeah.
And yeah, I think he ended up winning that tournament by like 18 inches or just something insane. But
yeah, it was a lot.
Anyway, you had to fish on to do better than I did that day, frankly. And if I hadn't run into you and talked to you and known that you had, you know, hooked a bunch of fish, I might have gone back in there the second day. But I was like, damn, how many 20 inch fish could there be in here that we haven't stuck yet?
I only stuck 119 in practice and like a 14. That's it.
I didn't even practice in there. I was trying not to go in there that year, and I wanted to find something different. And yeah, I looked around, found some bedfish, and the weather wouldn't let me get to them the first day. So I was like, well, shoot, I didn't have any other places in practice where I did anything. So I was like, let me just go in there and mess around. And I really didn't know what I was going to find. But I found you.
It was different this year, man. It was way different. They weren't back in that canal at all. I caught them all on a pit boss on the cypress trees, all my fish. I mean, I come in like 34th, but still.
Really?
Yes. I was not like it. The year before, it was speed worms is what I was getting bit on and stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, I caught the one on the wake bait, but that's the only bite I got on it.
Yeah. I got one bite off those cypress trees with a wacky rig, and that was it. Everything else was in the canals or down that one stretch of bank.
Yeah, and, so weird.
For half the day. And then that wind was nasty on the other bank. We were on the kind of protected side, and I just went and started throwing a chatterbait just to do something different. Because I was getting tired of going up and down the same bank over and over again.
But, and there ain't much room back here.
Mm-mm. But yeah, I didn't even try it this year. And it was, I think we ended up, we were one place apart. I don't remember who did better, but this year we were real similar. So I was kind of thinking I made a good decision by not going in there, because I was like, well, shoot, I got to see something different, and I wasn't fighting with Jason over fish. But
I went in there this year with a jerk bait and was getting bit just cranking a jerk bait.
Nuh-uh.
Swear, like it was wine, so, dude, I caught like a
crankbait.
Just slow, yeah, just like that, just slow rolling it back, and I was getting hit like that. It was crazy, man. But I mean, I got bit like that in practice, but I never caught any during the tournament like that. So I thought that's what I was going to end up doing, and I had to. On Friday, I went back in there, and I was like, man, you know, and I was getting ready to, because I wanted to try something different, just something to like a backup, you know, presentation or whatever. And I had a pit boss on from the day before, and I was getting ready to take it off. I was like, no, I'm with a cast. First cast, I got bit on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I got bit on it, and I shook like 6 or 7 fish off. Pretty much all those fish were still there during the practice, unlike Murray. Murray was rough.
That's another place where we fished the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year at Murray, I was like, man, I wasn't sure if I was following you or you were following me, but it is kind of cool, like running into somebody that you kind of know and actually chatting at the end of the day and seeing what you missed, like hearing how you were catching them, and I knew how I was catching them, and you know, we were fishing completely different. You were fishing slow, you know, dragging a worm around. I was fishing moving baits. And honestly, I think you were doing better than me. I think if I had done what you were doing that first day, I might have done a little better in the tournament. But
that was a very, very, very demoralizing, difficult time right there. Shook like 15 fish off over 3 days, and none of those fish were there. So now I got to go find them somewhere else. It was tough, but I scrounged up a win of both days somehow.
I did not. You did a lot better than I did in that one. I had the bites to do it the first day, and then the second day, second day was real bad. So not my best event, but dang, that was a long tangent getting into the other tournaments where we fished around each other. But let's jump into PK. Like, I know this was one of the ones that, you know, I circled when the schedules came out, that I was thinking it would line up with the spawn. I like to sight fish, and I was thinking this would be a chance where I could go down there and and look at one that was a double digit and have a, you know, have a chance at catching it. Something I've never done before. But it's like, it's kind of like a bucket list thing. I want to catch double digit that I can see on a bed. But I was kind of surprised. I just assumed based on how it's fished in the past, they are the numbers that guys have put up that it'd be really good. And I talked to a couple guys, you know, I reached out to a couple guys, you know, your dad was actually one of them. I was like, hey man, you know, good luck down there. You know, a couple of guys were like, yeah, man, it's been a tough bite. I was kind of surprised. I hadn't paid that much attention to it, but it sounded like it was tough for a number of people.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. The whole week. Yeah.
So how many days were you down there for the practice anyway?
Well, I fished Norman for the Hobie event on Saturday. I didn't even fish day two. I just left and went to Texas and I started fishing on Monday.
So you decided to buy yourself
like seven. Yeah. So I went like 7 miles back all the way back in this creek and fished my way back to it. And I caught 115 and a half inch fish the whole day.
So that's day one.
Yeah. Of practice. Day two, we wasn't sure if we were going to fish or not because of the weather, but we ended up, me and Jody went and fished in the morning to about noon or so. And he got a few bites. I had a few bites. I only put my hands on one fish. It was like a 14. That was on a buzz bait. And then I had like a 16 or 17 get off on a buzz bait. And I had one hit a jack. I can't remember, which idea how big it was. Those are the three bites there. And then Wednesday didn't fish because it was nasty. Thursday.
So what? Sorry to cut you off. I ended up. Just talking windy or cold and windy or.
Oh, it was raining and it was just windy and just it was nasty. Yeah, I wasn't going out in it. But on Thursday, I decided to put in right by our Airbnb, and that's one of the ramps that cost $25 to launch. That was tough. Like, I'm about to pay $25 to not catch a fish.
there was a place in California when I lived out there that I think there was a ramp fee and a parking fee, and it was like $17 or $18.
Yeah.
And it used to drive me nuts. They did boat inspections out there too, and that would make me mad. You know, if they found a drop of water in that, you know, they'd run their hand along. If they found any water in it anywhere, they wouldn't allow you to fish it. It had to be dry when you put in. They didn't want, you know, I sort of get it. They're trying not to spread mussels or, you know, spread aquatic vegetation or whatever. But yeah, I'd go to that lake and I was always trying to catch big fish, throwing a swim bait. And I don't know how many times I paid, you know, $20 to catch nothing.
Dude. Frustrating. Well, I went back there and I caught one probably, I don't know. I had one on about maybe 16 inches on the jackhammer. And then I started throwing that buzz bait. Literally straight across the little creek from our Airbnb. I mean, literally straight across. I threw that buzz bait and I got about two cranks while it was still underwater. It didn't even hit the top of the water yet. And one blasted it. I missed it. And then about 20 yards down the bank, I had a giant hit it about, I don't know, 12 or 13 foot away from me. I mean, it was massive. I didn't get a hook in it though, but just you can just tell, you know, the difference between something massive and something 2 or 3 pounds. I mean, it was huge. I mean, just the daggone, the swirl and then the wake that it made, you just know it was big.
Gotcha.
You know, so those are the only bites I got back there. And then Friday, on Thursday, my dad had caught some fish on the docks, and he probably had, he fished two different ramps and probably had like 95 inches between the two ramps. Ooh. And so I decided to go wherever, I can't remember where I put in, but I shot across the lake and I could see the bottom in 8 foot of water. And I was like, I'm not doing this. No.
It's like, you don't like the clear water.
I hate clear water. I hate it with a passion. If I can see the bottom in 8 foot, a fish can see me from 100 foot away. That's how I feel about it. You know, I mean,
I don't know the science, but you might be right.
At least my head tells me that. So and it'll deter me. Fishing,
I guess up to that point, you were in pretty dirty water then.
Oh yeah, I was looking for the dirty water. That's what I want. Just like in Murray, we're in that dirty water.
Gotcha.
You know, but I wasn't over. I probably fished 4 or 5 docks and was like, screw this. Went back across the lake, took out, went to another place by that big island, and was going to fish some docks, but out off the edges of some of them was 52 foot of water. I was like, this ain't going to work.
They like, off the edge, it dropped off that quick into 50 foot?
50 foot, dude. I was like, yeah. So, and the wind started picking up real good. And as I was going back to the ramp, I caught an 11 incher on a spinner bait, and that was it. That was the week. All right.
So is that even 5 fish? I'm not great at that.
No, not that I put my limit
in practice. No,
I put my hands on like 2 keepers and a short fish, I think.
Dang.
Yeah. No, wait, I take that back. I think it was Thursday. I did catch a 14 and a 19 on a flat. There was a northwest wind coming in on a flat, and it was on a south bank. And I caught those fish, and I had 3 other bites, and then it just clicked. I was like, this flat is going to have 0 wind on it tournament day because it's coming out of the south. I was like, this is pointless. And I just left, and I didn't even go back to it. I ended up talking to Russ. He fished it during the tournament, and he said he got 0 bites on it. I said, yeah, it makes sense.
So it's windblown when you're there, but you had the foresight to, oh, well, the wind direction is going to change by the weekend.
Immediately, man. It just clicked. I'm like, this ain't even going to be no good. There was plenty of fish air. That wind had them fired up and up on that. Because, you know, there was some little pieces of timber in there and stuff that were sticking up, and it was nice. But if there would have been a north wind, I'd have been there. I'd have fished it all day long probably. And it was little too, but I just know it would have kept reloading.
Gotcha. All right. So tough practice.
But yeah, it was terrible. So my decision was I was going to fish the creek that me and Jody fished on Tuesday, and Josh Sharp, he was going to fish it too. He's a buddy of mine. And he was like, man, I've already heard of at least 4 other people that are going to be in there. And it's not big at all, man. Like, not at all. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how small it is. And to sit and think about all the people that fished it all week long also. Yeah. But crazy. Here's the crazy part. Josh come in 11th and the dude in 3rd. Also fished back there and had a 95.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was
but,
some fish in there.
Yeah, there was still fish in there. But you know, I just decided, I'm like, my dad said he caught a couple 20s in this cove, but he wasn't going fishing on day 1 because of the wind and all that stuff. And he caught like some 17s and 18s and shook some fish off somewhere else. And he was going to fish air and I was going to fish the creek, and then they canceled day 1. So I told dad, I was like, man, I'm gonna go up there and, I mean, it's a huge cove. I said, I'm gonna go up there and just fish where you caught them 20s. He said, yeah, I think I'm gonna do the same thing. I said, all right, let's do it. And then he told me where he was starting, and he was like, if you want, just go on down that bank some and just start fishing, you know. And I went down there. I was going to start on docks, but then there was this little area that had like a point on one side and a boat ramp on the other, and the wind was kicking it across them already, and I could see some fish on my perspective mode. So I was like, I'm throwing a spinner bait. It's like, I hate dock fishing. Gotcha. So I, you know, of course I threw the crap out of spinner bait, never got bit on it. And then I started up that bank, and I think, I don't know, the 3rd or 4th dock, there was millions of carp there, man. They were spawning. It was insane. It was stupid. Like,
I hate that. They dirty the water, and
it was brutal, man. And then
So were they actually like coming out of the water and Like you see them like,
oh yeah,
almost like thrashing up on the bank. And it's just,
yeah,
it's,
they're up in the reeds. You everywhere. Couldn't even see them, but you could hear them up in the reeds. You could just see the reeds just shaking. Mm-hmm. It was nuts, man. But I seen a big old fish in between two dock posts that are on the walkway. And I figured it was a carp, but I cast over anyway. And the fish hit it, and I set the hook, and it just started digging. And I immediately said, it's a freaking catfish for sure. Because Jody caught some catfish in practice on a jackhammer and stuff. But I was throwing that worm, yeah. And he kept seeing them too, like just out in that clear water. But anyway, and it dug to my right, and then it went all the way around my boat and come over here and was digging, and then it came up, and I was like, oh my God, it's a giant. And so I hurry up and loosen my drag, because I was just playing around with it, just letting it do whatever it wanted to do, just because I just knew it was a catfish. And then I loosened my drag and let it run for a little bit longer, let it get tired. And I thought it was going to be, for as massive as the body was, I thought it was going to be longer. You know, I mean, it was 23 and a half, but it weighed 961.
That was actually going to be one of my questions, because it was thick.
Yeah,
like, dude, it was that was thick, a thick. Heavy fish. I was curious if it was quite 10. But nine
I'll
six is
it.
Off. Yeah, heck yeah. So that's your first bite of the day.
Yeah, it was the first one. And then I got, you know, got to fishing down these docks, quite a few of them, and never got bit again. I thought, man, this is going to be the only fish I catch all day, guaranteed. I was like, I don't want that to happen, you know, and because just thinking about how the week went, why wouldn't I just catch one fish all day? Because that's about all I caught anyway, right?
Yeah.
So then I ended up catching like a 16, and then I caught like a 14, and then a 15, and then there was like 2 hours left in the tournament. I was like, all right, man, I just need one fish in two hours.
Wait, you guys wrapped up at 3, is that right? Or
I think it was 2:45.
So, okay, so it's noon, and you've got 4 at that point?
Yeah.
One awesome fish that anybody'd love to have any day, and then, some limit fish, stuff that you're not necessarily looking to bring in, but still, at that point, you've done a whole lot better than I imagine you thought you would, given the practice.
Yeah, because I think I had, like, 72 or and some change with those 4 fish.
Okay.
So maybe something like that. I thought, man, if I just get a pretty good keeper here, I can probably cash a check. That's all I was thinking. You know, and
2 hours, a long time. Long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it is and it isn't, but.
I got back in this one cut and it like choked down. And it was real, real like chunk rock. Got real, real narrow. And I cast it back in there and I one hit it and it didn't take it. And then I started reeling it in and got up to the top of the water. Went about 17, come up and just smashed right at it. And I missed it. And I thought, man, I hope that wasn't my fifth fish. Just, you know, it was like, golly.
Yeah, I bet. You know? Just hoping to get another shot at one.
Yeah. And then I come up on that one dock, man. And I've said this in other podcasts, when the wind blows on perspective mode, it'll cause, like, you can see the waves going across the screen, and it'll come, sometimes it'll make it kind of fuzzy sometimes and make kind of hard to see certain things. Okay. And I'm looking at these two posts, you know, they're like 4 foot apart on the walkway, and underneath them, it looked like there might've been a couple rocks. But it also looked like there could have been something that was moving. So I'm like, man, that definitely looks like a fish moving or something. So I cast it over, nothing. Cast it over there, nothing. Cast it over there, all three in the same spot. And I caught, and then finally I caught 19. And I was like, heck yeah. So now I needed a 14 or something like that to get rid of. Yeah. So what I did, my next cast, I cast it at the two posts behind it, and I got bit on it, and I was trying to read a text message, which I think I'd have missed the fish anyway. I set the hook and didn't even get a hook in, and it just pulled it out of its mouth. Okay. I just think it had the tail end of it. So I immediately cast it back where I caught the 19 and caught a 21 3/4 on the next cast. Let it go, cast it back in the same spot and caught a 21.
Did you throw in the exact same post?
Exact same. Like to the degree.
You think it was a bed there with multiple fish?
No, they were all spawned out, man. The only one that had, you know, that was pre-spawn was that big one. All the other ones were skinny as a rail. They were all spawned out.
Gotcha. So there was just a wad of them on that dock.
And you know what? There was more fish on it. I couldn't get them to bite. I was trying like heck to get rid of that 16. I was like, you know, I was like, man, somebody's going to put up 105 inches, you know, like I need to get rid of this thing.
I can imagine that. Cause I can see, you know, you never know, you know, in most tournaments, 100 inches, you know, you're going to win, but not always. Like, I was there at the tournament where Jody put up like, I don't know, something stupid, like 107 maybe. And Guillermo had 111, something like that, in a KBF.
Oh, that was in Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was just.
You was at that one?
Yeah. I thought I had a good day. You know, I put up 90 inches, and I'm feeling pretty good. And then I'm looking at the leaderboard, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't know what I would do if I caught 107 inches and didn't win. Like, that would be so demoralizing to me.
Dude, but, that would be still, rough.
You never know. Like, you never know. Like, it's. You got to feel good with 100 inches, but yeah, you never know what's going to be good enough. Like I've had 93. Like I won a tournament with 93 and I thought we were in Florida and I was just like, I don't think that's enough. I felt like I needed to upgrade. And I felt like if I could have got rid of a 15 or 16 incher I had. And it was just, that was what I was thinking about driving to the awards, was like, man, I blew it. I needed one more bite. And it's just, you never know. Sometimes if the bite's off and it's off for everybody, and sometimes it's a slugfest for everybody, or there'll be that one guy that just smashes it when everybody else is struggling. But for this,
and the bad thing about that lake is like there ain't no service there hardly, you know, and that's why Bassmaster won't put no boat tournament there because they can't go live. That's what we've been told. That's what we were told anyway.
Interesting.
You know,
I remember hearing, what was it, Ray Roberts, when they did the classic there a couple years ago, and that, well, it, I don't know.
They'll be there again next year.
Yeah. And I don't know that it was necessarily tough. It was definitely a tougher time of year. Some giant fish got caught, but the numbers that got put up on PK were just off the charts. And I heard there were some guys that were upset that they, you know, boat guys, that they didn't get to have their tournament on PK. But that would make sense. You know, service is an issue. And, you know, you never know. Rumors are rumors.
It don't make no sense because there's a freaking boatload of money around that lake, man. I mean, multi-million-dollar houses. And it's just a bunch of rich people from Dallas, basically, you know. Like, there should be, that's what I was told, there should be cell phone towers everywhere. In my opinion, you know, but
that is an interesting. So, because I've had that bite me in the past, like and it depends on the lake. I remember I had a good tournament at Fork, one of the first tournaments I ever fished, like Bassmaster anyway. And I remember I had a good tournament, had a good limit, but I knew I had no service. I couldn't get anything to upload, and I knew it was like a 15 or so minute drive from where I was fishing to actually get to service. I mean, I almost had to make it all the way to the actual awards location. So I was like, I cut my day short, and like that was, I factored that into my plan. I was like, all right, I've got a pretty good limit. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to keep fishing. Like maybe I upgrade. But I was like, I have to leave because I would rather get these fish in and most likely catch a check than not get them in. And, you know, just on the chance that, well, if I get one more, maybe I could, you know, maybe I could win it. But it, like, was that a consideration for you? Like, were you able to upload those fish as you were catching?
Oh yeah, I could put mine in. Yeah. There was a couple places in that cove. I say cove, man, but it's daggone a mile across. You know what I mean? It ain't little. But there was a couple spots, like little cuts I would get in and like maybe not have it or only have one bar, which isn't enough to get a fish uploaded. But, and then of course I was concerned about, you know, people that sandbag, and I'm just like, which I don't, you know, whatever, you want to sandbag, I don't care. It's not going to make me fish any differently. I'm still going to fish hard. I'm still going to do what I do, but
there's nothing you can do about it.
That's another fear. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's the worst feeling in the world, man. Is the not know if you're going to win or not.
Yeah,
And
not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but we were talking beforehand about the leaderboard, man. When the leaderboard goes off, I absolutely hate it. To me, that might be the thing that I dislike the most about kayaks fishing is when the leaderboard goes off at the end of the day. Like, you know, if I didn't catch them. You know, a lot of times I'm not even looking at the leaderboard because I know it doesn't matter. Like I caught four fish or I've got, you know, small limit. I'm not looking anyway. I don't care in those tournaments, but it's the ones where you do good and you want to know, and you're just like the last 2 hours, you don't know if anybody, you know, ran into a wad of them and upgraded, or, you know, you just don't know until you show up. And it's just I hate that feeling of like thinking you did good and then finding out you didn't. So I'm always like trying to do the opposite in my head. Like that, we're talking about that Florida tournament. And in my head, I was like, no, I was telling myself, you know, I got a couple of good upgrades late in the day. And I've like, based on what everybody else had on the standings, if they didn't upgrade, like I did the math and I was like, well, I could be as high as, you know, like top five, you know, potentially I could be second, but I was like, there's no way these guys didn't upgrade. Like they always upgrade at the end. And I'm just telling myself like, no, we didn't do good enough. It's like, hopefully we cut a check. And then at least that way, you know, when I show up, if my name gets called like anywhere in the check range, I'm like, okay, so we did catch a check. And then if I did better, it's like, I'm not disappointed that, cause I had that happen one time I thought I was going to do better and, you know, my name got called earlier than I thought it was going to get called. And I kind of got surprised and I was mad at myself up there on stage. Cause I was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't pouting, but I was just kind of like down. Like I was visibly down and I guess I wasn't thinking about it at the time. And then I went back and watched it and I was like, that was a horrible look. Like anytime you cut a check, it's a good tournament. Yeah. Like when you get up on stage, it's a good tournament. And for me, like
so many people would kill to be up on that stage.
Oh yeah. But all I could think about in my head was I thought I was going to get a trophy and I didn't, you know, and I was mad at myself. And I'm just like, you know, it's an opportunity for you to thank sponsors and people that help you out. And instead you're just like, I caught some fish. Yay. And I was like, I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
And ironically, that was the last time I got a check at a Bassmaster tournament.
Oh man. So
But yeah, like, so that was going in my head and through my head at the Hobie tournament. And it's just, I'm always like in my head trying to like expect it to be worse. I don't like not knowing. It's a crappy feeling. I'd rather.
Yeah. Like I said, before we got on there. I would either keep it on the whole time or don't have it on at all. That's how
I think that's an interesting idea.
It's
no leaderboard.
It's like I said, that no, like nobody knows in the boat tournament what anybody's catching.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Well,
do
I
that
guess
to
you
us?
Got an MLF. I could see some advantages because I could see how you could fish differently, like eat, you know, good or bad. Like you could let up because you feel like, oh, I've got a lead, I'm doing good, and you know, because you're looking at the leaderboard and seeing your name close to the top. And then in reality, there's a bunch of people sandbagging and you're not doing that good. Or you could do the opposite. Like you could, you know, fish harder. I don't know. I think that would make it interesting. Like not having any idea what anybody else is doing, just fishing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think that'd be a lot cooler, honestly. Or like I said, leave it on the whole daggone time. Or
I like that too. Time. Yeah, on, you know, I think
either let us know or don't let us know.
the half, like getting a little bit of information hurts. Like the other one that I thought was real, I felt really bad. Brain's not working. This would have been 2022, the Bassmaster Championship. This would have been Richard Russell, the one Siddiqui won. And John, I think his first name was John, from Maryland, finished second, a quarter inch behind. And, you know, he, like, basically, it was even worse. It was a whole day. So we wrapped up at whatever it was, 2:30 on the, you know, whatever the last day of the competition was. I think it was midweek. I can't remember. But then the next day, like, right before the elites weigh in for day one of the Classic was when we had our ceremony. So it's, I don't know if it wasn't quite 24 hours, but it was pretty close to it. You're just sitting there nervous. And like those two guys got tortured.
And, that's the worst. Siddiqui,
you know, for Siddiqui, it turns out okay. Like he gets that 20,000 or whatever in that giant trophy, but I feel bad for John. It's like, man, he was that close to winning that much money. And it just like the letdown. Like I was in a much smaller tournament. And just was, you know, did not, what's the right word? I don't want to say perform. Like my stage presence was horrible. Like with that disappointment, like it would have been so much worse if I thought I was about to win $20,000 and then it's like, nope. Whoop,
You might not even show up.
I just walked off the stage. They hand me the trophy. You just walk off.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom and throw up now.
Yeah. I mean, and I probably would have. Like, it would just been horrible. Like, I cannot imagine like that. How bad that feeling is. And at least if you know ahead of time, you know, you can go up there and still have a smile on your face. Like, hey, like. You're not finding out in that moment. Like the whole world doesn't get to see like your face just go, oh, like your dream is right there. And now it's gone. Like, I don't know. I wish the leaderboards would stay up. I don't like the drama, but anyway. Yeah. All right. So fishing question. Did you notice anything different about the docks that had the fish? Like were they all similar? Was it just, you know, some had bait? Was it a depth thing, bottom composition, anything, or did it just
not really? I mean,
you just had to fish through them.
Yeah, because some of the docks didn't have any posts because they're all floating docks anyway. You know, so
cables with the cables like at
freaking cables everywhere.
And I'm not. I know you were throwing your little
Fatty Z.
The Fatty Z. Not the mag one, just the Fatty.
Yeah, the five inch one, yeah.
Okay. And you're Texas rigging it or shaky head?
No, shaky head. That's the first time in my life I threw a shaky head too.
Really?
Yep.
You were doing a Texas rig at Murray, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Texas rigging it, but then you decided to shaky head it this time. Your dad does it that way, right? On the shaky head?
He does both. He does both. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what made you do that? What made you go shaky head for
this? That's how he's been. He had been catching them like Gunnersville and stuff like that. So I'm like,
okay.
I never got bit on a worm all week. I never got bit on nothing but a moving bait all week. So.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I did have one Texas rigged also, a different color than what I was using. And I tried it on those fish that were still on that post, but they just never bit it or anything. So I don't know.
Gotcha. Don't know. Now, so are you throwing that on a, if I remember right, and I guess I should point out, it occurs to me that this is the first time we've had relatives as guests. Two members of the Isaacs family. never had that. That's a first for KFW. But if I remember right, your dad likes it on a spinning outfit, a little bit lighter line.
Well, yeah, I throw it on a spinning rod too.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, but I use heavy line though. I use 20-pound braid to a 17-pound leader.
Okay.
Because I was throwing a 20 pound leader, and then I ran out of the 20 pound line. I just been using 17, but I won't go no lower than that because I've broke so many fish off, and I was like, I've even broke off on that stuff too sometimes. You know, maybe a little bit of slack line or whatever, or maybe the knot was getting frayed from hitting the bottom so much. Because every so often I'll grab that hook and I'll grab my line and I'll pop it. And if I can pop it and break it, it's time to retie. If I can't break it, then it's still good. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I'll do that 6 or 7 times throughout the day, at least.
Yeah, I'm constantly, you know, especially after a fish catch, I'm running my fingers up the line. If I can see any sort of change in the light, like where there's a little nick or anything, because I'm not throwing as heavy as you. I'm typically, yep, with the spinning rod, I'm in that 8 to 10 pound for a lot of stuff. But is it a pretty stiff rod you're using then?
It's a 7.3 medium heavy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're putting the wood to them and trying to get them out away from those posts and cables and get them out of the scary stuff. Yep. Gotcha. All right. I like it.
The thing about with me with the spinning outfit is I can make 10 times more accurate cast, further casts. Just, you know, I can put it into places that I can never put it in with a bait caster.
Gotcha. So you're skipping it?
You know, so. Oh yeah, for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah. I guess there are situations where I'll skip a swim jig and I can skip that okay on a bait caster, but I'm not great with skipping a bait caster. It's probably something I should work on.
It's not fun in a kayak.
You get a little bit of chop in the water and then instead of you actually put the bait where you want it to, and then you get that little bit of chop, and instead of going under the dock, it skips up and whonk right into the side of it.
It's like hitting a skateboard ramp.
or it goes sailing over the dock. I had one where there was some some piece of metal on a dock at Cayuga, and I skipped a little shaky hit under there, and it went under the dock, but over, like in between the
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then a fish hit it. Yes. And I'm fighting a fish, and I'm having to get him in. And I mean, it was a small fish, fortunately. But I mean, if it had been a big bass, that'd have been a mess. But yeah,
it broke your line.
even with the spinning rod, it's skipping is not the easiest thing in the world for me, anyway. But it's for me, it's a lot easier.
It's just I don't like standing up either. So. I try to stay as low to the water as I can because, you know, I'm over 6 foot tall. So I stand up, I feel like I'm also going to spook fish. So I just try to stay. And sometimes I have to stand up if I'm flipping pads or, you know, something like that, or trying to punch or maybe throwing a frog. That way I can get some backbone in the hook set. But
yeah,
other than that, I'm sitting down.
That's a good tip for the guys that are maybe new to the kayak fishing. That's one of your trade-offs. It's like sitting down. I feel like I do not get a very good hook set. If I'm fishing with something with a heavier gauge hook and I'm sitting, it's just that leaning back motion. You can't turn your hips into it. I just feel like I physically cannot generate as much power as I can standing. And maybe other people are different. I feel like with a light line and a spinning rod and a thinner diameter hook, you know, it's easier to get that thing to penetrate. But with those big beefy hooks and me sitting down, I've had a lot of situations where I go to lean back into it and I don't get the power that I needed to drive those hooks home.
Frog hooks are thick. You know, and then if you're flipping or punching, you're going to want to use one of them straight line hooks that are real stiff and real beefy, and it's going to take a lot to drive it. Yep, I get it.
Well, I like that tip. And shoot, I guess I'll give you. I appreciate the time, and I'll kind of give you the floor for a second. If there's anybody you want to thank, a sponsor you want to plug, if you want to shout out your social media, the floor is yours.
Yeah, fishing online in Dakota Lithium. My dad, for everything that he does and teaches me and all that good stuff, he's always, and being patient with me. That's a big one, because I'm sure I'm a pain in the butt sometimes.
Shoot, we all are.
For having me on here, and especially like people like Jody Queen and Matt Ball and Corey Dreyer and Casey Reed, like these guys that I talked to, and Kurt Schmitz and stuff, and Russ. I talk to Russ, you know, pretty often, and we just bounce stuff off of each other, and that's always, you know, really good to have. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not like telling each other, hey, you should go fish here and throw this and do that, but it was just like, you know, just this, just little stuff here and there, you know?
No, I agree completely. It's not like you're giving waypoints or sharing waypoints, just that talking it out with somebody. Like,
yeah,
I've noticed the same thing. Like when I got somebody to, but hey, this is what I'm thinking. And if it's a real stupid idea, they can be like, hey man, I don't know if you should do that. That doesn't sound real smart. So your dad gave me good advice at Gunnersville for the KBF championship. I had a good first day, and I did not feel good about going back there. And I was kind of thinking out loud at the house, hey, this is where I'm thinking of running to this spot, or maybe try this. And he's like, well, you know, how'd you catch him in your area? And he's like, well, I caught him on moving pieces. Why don't you just go back? And I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe I will go back. And it worked out. So just having somebody else to kind of, you know, just help you think through a situation is nice.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, again, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations again. I hope you get another opportunity and get some more of those trophies. You going to do more Bassmaster events this year?
Yeah, I'll probably do all of. I mean, I'm 100%. Like, I'm going to Gunnersville. I'm going to. Nice. I will go to Caddo the rest of my life.
You've done pretty good there.
I love it there, man. I absolutely love it.
You took home a trophy, I think, at least the last time Hobie was there.
Yeah. Susquehanna is just like, I love fishing it, but it's just one of those things, man. If you're not that, you know, handful of people that gets those lucky spots, it's just not going to be fun, in my opinion, you know, because you can't just, it's not something that you can just pre-fish and then go back to and think you're going to smash them, because those fish are going to A, not bite again, or B, move.
It's a weird place for me. It's like, I love the smallmouth and how big they get there, but Caddo is kind of another one that's like that for me, where it's a great fishery, but I haven't figured it out like for a tournament. Like I've gone there and had fun and caught good fish, but I haven't put together a good tournament there. And I still don't know exactly why it is, but it's like you say, it's a fun place. It just.
Yeah. The one year I went there, I had like, I floated one stretch, I don't know, 6-7 miles, and had like 89 inches. And then I floated a different stretch right below that, maybe the same amount of miles, and got like 85 inches. The tournament, I floated through both of those areas, and I don't even think I had 80 inches. So it's like, what happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. I'm probably going to fish it, though. Cool. I'm gonna fish Cayuga for the Hobie event.
Okay.
Yeah, so that'll determine whether or not I fish Saginaw or Chick. If I do good there, because I've been to the TOC every year since I've started doing this. So
dude, that's awesome.
I would like to keep that streak going. I didn't really. There for a minute, I was like, man, I hate Santee Cooper. I do. I love Cypress Tree, but those Cypress Trees got my number. Like, I've done okay in practice there, and then I've like either skunked or caught a couple fish or something in the tournament. It's just not been good to me at all during the tournament.
Gotcha.
But I mean, something's got to give sooner or later.
Yeah, you know? I think eventually you play the odds. Like you can only not catch them so many times, I feel like.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but yeah, hopefully if I could just get like I got that 34th at Harris Chain. So I think if I get a couple top 20s or something, I could probably squeeze in. Because there's 65 this year. You know, it's not like it's 50 like it was. So,
and that's not a bad start. That's good points. It's and then you had good points at the, well, obviously good points at this one, max points. And then you didn't do bad at
Murray. I was 30th. Yes, 30th at Murray. So
you're sitting pretty. I don't think you're going to have a problem making the 2025 Bassmaster Championship.
No, I'm already in. Right?
Oh, well, duh for the win.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. The top five is the top five of everyone.
Dang. So you're looking at. So shoot, you're going to fish enough to where you actually, you know, you got a chance to actually drop that 30th place finish and make a run at Russ and that AOI crown.
Well, this is if I can get a top 10 or a top 15 at Gunnersville, I think I got a shot.
Yeah.
I do. Cause I've got a real good feeling about Caddo.
Yeah.
And listen, we had a fantasy football league last year. It was I might miss some names, but it was me and Steve Owens and Drew Gregory and Ryan Lambert and Mel Ash and Jackson Orr and Siddiqui, Scotch. But they had posted the schedule in our group chat last year for this year. And Scotch and Siddiqui were really hyping up Possum Kingdom, saying that there's going to be tons of 100-inch bags. And I said, there ain't going to be as many as Caddo in October. They were like, you want to bet? They were like trying to bet me. And I'm like, I ain't going to bet you. But, you know, what they failed to realize is the national championship was in October a few years ago. And there was like 1,500-inch bags put up in that one. Okay? So there's a good shot that there's going to be quite a few 100-inch bags put up in this one.
You think down at Caddo this year?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I should say Caddo Bistano, because I'm pretty sure both lakes are going to be in play.
Yeah, my plan is to fish one day and fish one the other day.
Yeah, Bistano's That's not a secret plan. Anymore. A couple years ago, guys show that it's, you know, Caddo's not the only one that's got some big fish, so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping to make, you know, Gunnersville also, and then I'll
come. You're going to be in the house with us, ain't you?
That's the plan. That's the plan. I'm still waiting to see the work schedule, but
Yeah, okay.
That's the plan. Cool. I'm worst case scenario. I'll drive there down there on no practice and just wing it. But yeah, I'm hoping to make that one, and then we'll see after that. So. Hopefully, I'll see you, the Thursday before? I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can leave after work Thursday, but we'll see. Anyway, Jason, thank you again. It's been fun. Best of luck the rest of the year, especially with Anger of the Year run.
That'd be crazy. It'd be crazy if I got it in that one and my dad got it in KBF. That'd be nuts.
Dude, and your dad's sitting pretty. He's about as good as you can do with KBF. With what, two wins and a third?
Third? Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got a good chance and two events to go. That would be cool.
That'd be crazy.
Well, dude,
who knows, though? You never know. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Isaacs. All right, that was fun. So before we jump into Kings of the Week, the final segment, we have the new Yakking on a Budget segment. We had the entire show that we did a few weeks back. And then last week, we talked about, what did we talk about? I don't even remember anymore. Wow, I'm getting old. But anyway, for this week, what I do remember, I want to talk about paddle, because to me, paddles, if you're just starting out, that's a place where you don't have to spend a lot of money. There's paddles out there that are very expensive. I've spent a lot of money on paddles before. but it's not a must. I will say this, a lot of the fishing kayaks anymore, if you get a pedal drive kayak or a kayak that you plan on motorizing, and that's going to be your primary mode of transportation anywhere, the paddle is going to be even less important. But the paddle, it matters, but particularly when you're new, it's not the most important thing. I would rather put that extra money into the kayak itself, get a kayak that's a little bit more stable, has, you know, nicer features. You know, if I'm on a budget, I would rather allocate that extra money into the kayak itself over the paddle. But I will give an example. I'll tell the story in a second, but I'll start off the Bending Branches Whisper. That's a kayak that I'm actually recommending to people that come into the store to Rock Outdoors looking for, you know, they're starting out, they're looking for a paddle. I recommend that a lot. It's fairly inexpensive. It runs $70 to $80. It's aluminum. It's sturdy. You know, it's not the lightest kayak, or excuse me, the lightest paddle. You know, there's definitely some nice paddles that are made out of carbon that are going to be lighter. You're going to be less fatigued, but you're going to pay for that. The aluminum to me is really nice. You know, if you're going to be fishing a river, you can bang it around. You don't have a ton of money invested in it. You're not so worried about beating it up and breaking it. I just feel like a paddle is something that you can spend a little bit less on and still be fine. I may have told this story before on here, but I was fishing, you know, wading a river, you know, paddling upstream to fish a section that basically that was the only way to get to it. So I paddled in, and then I had I got out and waded. I had the kayak clipped to my belt, and as I'm wading and fishing, I probably fished for an hour. And all of a sudden I look back, you know, it's getting late. Sun's, you know, starting to go down. I've got a couple miles that I got to go downstream, a couple of rapids to get through. I look back and the paddle's gone. At some point I must have bumped it, knocked out of the kayak. I didn't have it on a tether. So I ended up having to go into town, you know, hitch a ride into town, and I picked up a cheap, I don't even remember the brand, but it was a Walmart paddle. I think I paid $30 for it. And I was thinking, I just need something to get me back downriver and that'll work. And then, you know, I'll go find a nicer one. And I was actually pretty impressed with that $30 paddle for what it was. You know, it definitely wasn't great, but it worked. It got me back downriver. And I think it was 6 months to a year before I actually invested in another nicer paddle. I just kept using that one. So it's something that you can use. If you're on a budget, my recommendation would be spend less money on the paddle, more money on the kayak itself, or on some accessories for that kayak. So don't break the bank on your paddle. That is our yakking on a budget tip of the week. And now for the final segment, Kings of the Week. Actually, I'm going to pause. Before I do Kings of the Week, I want to do a plug. Something I haven't done on here before. You know, we don't currently have any sponsors for Kayak Fishing Weekly. If there's anybody out there that's interested in sponsoring the show, by all means, you can reach out to me or to Bailey, and we'd be happy to talk. But we don't have any sponsors currently. That said, I want to plug Blackfish Gear for a minute. It's a company that I'd heard of before. I'd seen that, you know, their booths. I'd walk by the booths at these different outdoor sort of expos and shows, but I didn't know much about them. And they've actually, you know, they've been affiliated with some of the other shows on the Serious Angler Network. You know, Bailey and some of the other guys, you know, have worked with them for a while. But me, you know, we just started Kayak Fishing Weekly in November. I didn't know those guys. I'd never talked to them. And they reached out and sent me a bunch of gear in January. They didn't ask for anything in return. There was no expectation that I was going to do some sort of a plug for them or review the gear. They just sent it to me. And I thought that was really cool. So I thought I would, one good deed deserves another. I thought I would give them a short little review, shout them out, and talk about some of the stuff that I've now used from them. So the first thing I got was their their Storm Skin Gale jacket. So it's a full zip jacket. It's got a nice warm liner in it. And, you know, I basically used that this winter. I've now had it for 3 to 4 months. What was it? January. We're now in, you know, towards the end of April. So we'll say 4 months I've had it. Great for those really cold days. And then I have the bibs that go with it. So, you know, kind of a matching set for those really cold days. Those bibs are nice. You know, as we've gotten further along into the spring, I'll find myself, you know, not putting the bibs on. You know, you get in those cold mornings, but it, you know, heats up into the 50s and 60s by the middle of the day. You know, once it gets to that point, you know, I'll wear the Gale jacket without the bibs. And a lot of times I'll just put, you know, sort of a rain pants on, and that'll be enough to keep me warm until that sun heats things up. The other stuff that I've gotten more recently, the Rage rain suit, I've been really impressed with. I haven't had it as long. I got it just a couple of months ago, but really impressed with that so far. Also, they have a hooded sun shirt that I got recently. So the Swift is the model. I got a couple of those. I really like it. And as a general rule for me, these hooded type shirts, I like hoods better. It just gives me the ability to block the sun out. Hope that's not making too much noise, but I can block more of that glare, keep the sun off my neck. I don't like having sunscreen. I'd rather have long sleeves, long pants, you know, fabric to keep those sun's rays off of me. But yeah, been really impressed with the gear that I've used from Blackfish. So thank you, Blackfish, for all those goodies. And now we'll jump into our King of the Week. Just going to do one this week. I mentioned at the start of the show, the Possum Kingdom Tournament. I know there were some guys that caught some giant fish. There were several 24-inch fish that got caught. And I mentioned the big bass of the tournament that went to Mr. Matt Ramey, 24 and a quarter inches. But I wanted to shout out this week Mr. Michael Ridenour. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that name right. He actually cut a check in this tournament. And one of my buddies was fishing near him and kind of gave me this story. Said he ran into him. He was having a tough day. And then ran into him again a couple hours later. And Michael had put up a 24-incher, a thick 24-incher that was just under 11 pounds. Absolute monster fish. His personal best. So came down to Texas, got his personal best, and then put together a limit over the remaining hours of the tournament and cashed himself a check. So an impressive showing, a showing that, you know, I'm hoping that it's one that maybe you haven't heard about, but congratulations, Michael. Massive fish, awesome fish anywhere in the country, but congrats on that personal best. And that's going to do it for this edition of Kayak Fishing Weekly. We'll be back next week. We hope to see you then.
Hey guys, appreciate you listening to that episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If your application that you're listening to this episode on allows it, please give us a rating and review. It helps us out big time, get shown more on the platform that you're listening to, and it helps us grow the show. And if you get some time, check out the other podcasts on the Sirius Angler Network. And of course, have a great day.